I was 6'3" and I weighed 215 pounds. Praise God. And at that time, somebody say, boy, he was lean and mean. I was. Praise God. But now, amen, some years later, praise God, I was the same 6'3", but it was 240 something pounds. Praise God. And I got some of them suits in my closet that I need to be given to somebody. But guess what I'm doing right here? Oh, no, I'm not going to give them away, man. I'm going to lose this weight so I can get back into the suit. I ought to just go ahead and do like I ought to do. Just go give those suits to somebody. Praise God. So what I'm saying, praise God, we got to have the same compassion that Jesus had. And when we have that compassion, praise God, we'll find out people who have been with Jesus. Praise God. They have that compassion. I want to share a little story with y'all. How many of y'all ever heard of Mother Teresa? Praise God. Most of y'all have heard of Mother Teresa, but y'all don't know the full story behind, because if I was to ask everybody in here what was Mother Teresa's real name, maybe one person might be able to name her. Praise God. But can I just give you a little extract, praise God, from Mother Teresa? Praise God. I'm going somewhere with this. You see, Mother Teresa's name was Agnes. Her name was Agnes Bojahis, Bojahiu. And she was born in 1910 in Macedonia to Arabian parents. Praise God. And at the age of 18, it tells me that she was in Calcutta, India, to teach in an affluent school. Y'all know what the word affluent means. That means that she was in a school where the well-to-do was, and she was there to teach them. Praise God. And she taught, praise the name of the Lord, as she taught for 17 years, she would look out the window of the affluent school that she was in and look all around her and saw nothing but poverty. She saw nothing but slums. Praise God. So Agnes, at this time, after 17 years in the classroom, praise God, she looked at the human suffering. Praise God. She looked at the misery that was going on. Praise God. Right where she was in there teaching. Amen. And guess what she did? She decided that she was going to leave the classroom and she was going to go out there into the slums. Amen. In other words, she was going to go out there, amen, and do the same thing that Jesus did. In other words, she had some compassion on those who were sick. Praise God. Those who were less needy. And see, and today we know her, praise God, instead of Agnes, we know her as Mother Teresa. Praise God. But they tell me that the folks on the street of Calcutta calls her the saint of the gutters. Amen. Y'all, somebody going to get that on the way home. Praise God. And Mother Teresa once said, praise God, she said one in her historical memoirs, it said that she once said, the other day I had a dream that I was at the gates of heaven. And Saint Peter said to me, go back to earth, praise God, because there are no slums up here. Praise God. Mother Teresa would spend the rest of her life taking care of the unlovable, taking care of the untouchable. Praise God. And she lived among those with leprosy. She lived among those with AIDS. Praise God. She fed the poor. She took care of the needy. And the question is, what compelled Mother Teresa, praise God, to be out there with those that was in need? The fact of the matter is, she had been with Jesus and she had some compassion for those. And let me tell you something, that's what we as born again believers ought to have. We ought to have that compassion. And once the world see that we have the compassion, once the world see that we have been changed, and then the world would see that we have some evidence, amen, if you will, that we too have been with Jesus. Let me just go ahead on and try to rush to a close here. I said I wasn't going to be too long. I'm not that long, have I? If this thing haven't stopped, it looked like it's about 12:20, about 12:35, 36. Let me go ahead, praise God. See, if we have been with Jesus, I said, first of all, the people will see change in our life. Second thing, they will see compassion. But the next thing that we see from this text, praise God, that they would see if we had been with Jesus, one of our evidence is that we will be very courageous. Yes. Amen. Somebody say courageous. Yes. Amen. See, I didn't want to read the whole pericope, but praise God, if you go back to verses 1 and 2 of that fourth chapter, let me read them for you if they don't put them up there. Verse 1 and 2 up there. Look what it says. It says, then as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. You see, these Sadducees, they became angry at Peter and John because they were preaching and they were teaching in Jesus' name. Praise God. And they took and they arrested them and they put them in jail. But praise God, but God did something. Praise God. God moved upon the hearts of somebody. So they let him out of jail the next day. Praise God. And when they let him out of jail the next day, there is something, praise God, that this Sanhedrin council, that's what we're talking about. That was something that this Sanhedrin council could not do. So they asked a question in verse 7. Look at the question that they asked him. It says that, and by what, praise God, by what power or by what name have you done this? Amen. The this that they were talking about is to make this lame man whole. Amen. Because they couldn't deny the fact that he was healed. Your reason why I said they couldn't deny it, because he had been laid there every day. Praise God. Somebody would lay him there. No doubt in my mind, those same Sadducees. No doubt in my mind, the same high priest who asked them the question had walked by the man. Praise God. No doubt in my pocket, they may have one time took out and put an elm in his hand, but they didn't do it too frequently. Praise God. But they asked Peter and John the question, how in the world did you all do this? Praise God. And I like the courage of Peter and them. I got to just talk about that, man. They responded, praise God. They say, they asked him, by what power did you do this? Praise God. And they responded, amen, with the same thing which led to their arrest in the first place. Yes. Praise God. They said that we did this because we were preaching. and we were teaching the name of Jesus. Yes. Praise God. And then they went a little bit further than that. They said, not only the fact that we were preaching and teaching the name of Jesus, they reminded that Sanhedrin that you are the same people, praise God, about 2 months ago that caused the same Jesus that I'm preaching about, the same Jesus that I'm talking about. You were the ones who were responsible for him being nailed to a tree. Praise God. In other words, you are the ones that should be building the house. But praise God, but you have not looking at the total foundation of the house. Praise God. He, this Jesus that you locked up, this Jesus that you had killed, he was the chief cornerstone, praise God, of the house that you are trying to build. Can I remind us, praise God, that you can't build a house, amen, on man-made philosophy. Praise God. You can't build no church on man-made philosophy. It's got to be built on the word of God. Praise God. And the word of God, praise God, is going to uplift and it's going to glorify this one that's by the name of Jesus. Praise God. So those boys continued to preach and they continued to teach in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I see that I've gone over a little bit. I'm going to rush to a close here. Praise God. I won't talk about another man that did a great job. So I'm gonna rush to a close. Praise God. I said that if it's evidence that we've been with Jesus, Reverend Babb and Reverend Phillips, is the fact that there has been a change in our life. Praise God. Another thing is that we, praise God, have some compassion in our life. And the third thing I said, that we ought to be very courageous. Amen. You see a person who is courageous, Sister Scott, they're not going to be afraid, praise God, to tell somebody about the Jesus that they have met. Amen. They're not going to be afraid. I don't care if somebody looks them in the eye, call them everything that they want to call them, they are not going to be afraid, because they have that Holy Spirit that's backing them up. That Holy Spirit that's on the inside of them, that would tell them to tell that person that the wages of sin is death, but that the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So praise God, not only would they evidence the fact that we've been changed, not only would the evidence would be the fact that we have some compassion, not only would the evidence would be that we are courageous, but let me tell you, praise God, the last one, if the people want to know that we have been with Jesus, there's going to be some commitment. There's going to be some commitment, praise God, that's going to be in our life. You see, after being questioned by the Sanhedrin, praise God, if we would just fast forward to chapter 5. When y'all go back home, y'all read chapter 3, 4, and 5 of the book of Acts. Man, it ought to open your eyes. Praise God. Go back and just read that. We find that this same Sanhedrin, praise God, they told them, again, I don't want y'all to be preaching in this man's name. I don't want you to be teaching in this man's name. And we know that chapter 5, praise God, that it started out because the church in that day was in its infancy. Praise God. And everything that everybody had, they shared it among each other. Praise God. And we see chapter 5 starts out, amen, with two people. I'm talking about a husband and wife. If your husband is sitting next to you and your wife, just pinch him and say, don't be like Ananias and Sapphira. Amen. You see, it starts out with the fact that Ananias and Sapphira had sold some property. Praise God. And they were supposed to bring whatever they sold it for and lay it at the apostles' feet so that the apostle can distribute it, praise God, to everybody that was in need. But guess what? Ananias and Sapphira conspired. Amen. Ananias, when you go up there, you tell them that we sold it for X amount of dollars. So they went up there and they told the apostles that they were sold for X amount of dollars. I'm going to get to commitment here. Praise God. And as soon as he told that lie, the Bible says that he died. Praise God. And then after, amen, he died and they took him out and they buried him. Praise God. Here come Sister Sapphira strutting into the church. And they asked her, how much did you sell it for? Did y'all sell this for X amount? Oh, she said, yes, we did. And he said, why would you lie? Praise God, to the Holy Spirit. The same folk that came in and took your husband out, they're going to come in here and take you out. Hallelujah. What am I trying to say to us? Praise God, there was no commitment on their part. Praise the name of the Lord. We have to be committed to this Bible that we read. We have to be committed to this faith that we have taken on. We have to be committed to the things that we do for Jesus. And it can't be a hit and miss deal. Hallelujah. It doesn't mean that you have to be in the church every time that the church door opened. But my God, if you have received Jesus on the inside of you, there ought to be something that will make you want to be in love with Jesus.
Turn with me to the 24th chapter of the book of Joshua. I wish that I had some more of these young people, but I see nothing. I see nothing but young folk here today. Amen. If I get ready to speak directly to the young, the youth, I will say this is our youth service on the first Sunday. Joshua, 24th chapter. And I'm going to read verses 14 all the way through verse 18. So if you have it, say, I have it. That wasn't enough.